Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob and Yurt Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. The big news today is the drone footage. The minor news is the Mueller testimony in Congress. And that's minor because everyone knows the Russia collusion was a lie cooked up by the Democrats. And that as far as obstruction of justice goes, it's pretty hard to obstruct justice into a crime that never occurred. But when Hillary Clinton deleted 30,000 emails that were subpoenaed, that's obstruction of justice. Anyway, that's obvious. You learn all that in 3 minutes. Doesn't take 3 years. So to the important news today, downtown Denver, Colorado Right to Life's billboard went up, and it's causing a stir among the pro-aborts. So we wanted great footage of it. In fact, we'd love drone footage of it. So who better to call than a pilot who knows about no-fly zones? So, Darren, welcome to the studio. Welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Well, Bob, that's interesting that you mentioned the Mueller report, because I thought today that's what I was going to concentrate my day on.
Right,
and then we called each other and you said, hey, let's do some drone footage of, of the Right to Life sign in downtown Denver.
Yeah, and what do you think of the sign? What do you think of how it looks and the message?
I think it's amazing. I thought it was quite funny. You said, it's high. What do you think, Darren? Is it high enough so it doesn't get vandalized? I thought, who would have thought of that?
Who would have thought of that? But yeah, sadly, right?
But it's a great place for it.
But it's way it is so high up in the air, and it's just on the edge of downtown Denver at Colfax and Spear. And so, Darren, you fly a jet airline for a major carrier.
Yes, for a major carrier, which is, I think it's funny because only about 6 months ago, you used to say I used to fly for a major regional air carrier.
Yes, so. Whenever I mention you at church, at Denver Bible Church.
Right.
So now you fly for one of the big airlines.
Right.
And I wanted to ask you, I'd like to talk about the drone footage and all and the billboard. But first, as a pilot, you fly, in fact, from knowing you and your routes, I'd say mostly Midwest to the Southwest.
That's correct.
And, you know, we do Real Science Radio on Fridays. Have you ever tuned into?
Yeah, of course. That's one of my favorite shows, of course, Friday, because I'm a scientific-minded person, I think, that I am, you know. And
sure.
I like to, research stuff, and that's how I found you over the years.
So I have a question for you. With the global flood being so significant to understand the Earth and the history of the world, even the solar system. But as you fly over the Southwest, there's not only the Grand Canyon, but that whole region, 10,000 square miles, where in a way, thankfully, it's not blanketed by trees, so you could actually see what's going on the ground.
That's correct, yeah.
Does it affirm the global flood history that we talk about, or does it look nothing like a global flood aftermath?
The eyes can't lie for me. I mean, when I'm flying over it, I see just a gigantic floodplain, you know. And of course, scientists say that it's a ancient seabed at one point, which of course
it would be, right? Well, that's true in a way, but a floodplain really is different than a seabed. But there are similarities.
Yeah, because you can see the runoff from a flood.
But boy, a floodplain, right?
That's correct, yeah.
I've flown it maybe 30 times that stretch. You've done more than that?
I would say in the high hundreds.
Hundreds, okay. So, and when I'm at a window and I'm able to, I really look. And it's so encouraging to have your understanding of the world, either if you're corrected and you're like, wow, what I believed, there was a mistake there, I was wrong, or the opposite, to have it affirmed. And in this case, so since you listen to Real Science Radio, you must know about Dr. Walt Brown and his Origin of the Grand Canyon.
Yes, I've read that book probably about three times.
You have?
Yes, fully, from the front to the back.
You've read it one more time than I have.
Okay.
I've read it twice.
Right.
Now, I've read every footnote. Have you read every footnote?
I have read every footnote as well.
it's over 1,000 footnotes.
Right.
In the back of the book.
Because you don't want the chapter to end. I mean, after you get to the end of it, there's got to be more.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And there's that whole
there's
another chapter
so much.
Of footnotes.
There's so many gems in those footnotes.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's like a book I read years ago, Leftism Revisited,
by Eric von Kuhnelt-Leden. I think he's with an Austrian economics school. And the footnotes were just brilliant, you know. And that's with Walt, too.
Right.
There's so much powerful evidence for the history of the world as reported in Genesis.
Yeah.
So then, have you had the opportunity to talk to other pilots?
So I actually have a copy of Walt Brown's book with me when I fly, and I will take it out. And
well, nowadays, digital, right?
That's correct, yes.
We have at kgov.com/9,
right.
The number 9.
Okay.
We have the 9th edition, the PDF, the whole thing right there.
Yeah, I even have that edition as
yeah.
well. And a compare. So, yeah, I just would talk to, you know, I was like, hey, you know, now that we're looking over the Grand Canyon, I want to ask you a question. Do you believe that, you know, there was a that the Grand Canyon was created with a little water over a long period of time? Or did you know there's an alternate theory that say it could be a lot of water over a short period of time? And that's usually how I get the conversation started.
Oh, wow. That's just the greatest.
And then I would pull out Brian Nichols. He's yes. also one of the gentlemen that you use to talk to. And
yeah, Brian and I did a series on the Grand Canyon last summer, five-show series, and started out with the problems with the river carved the canyon. How there's just no way.
Right.
There's 100 rivers in the world greater than the Colorado River. None of them have done this. And it has this little tiny delta compared to other rivers. So mm-hmm. the Colorado River didn't carve the canyon.
That's correct. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I just take the information that I see in the book and Brian Nichols' illustrations. And I just, as I'm flying over the Grand Canyon, I could just match exactly what they're talking about. You know, with the Marble Canyon, how the barbs go the wrong way, they're supposed to go.
Oh, yeah, you can see that. Yeah. And then the funnel, too, where Grand Lake was two massive Great Lakes, Grand Lake and Hopi Lake. And when Grand Lake breached, it was over Utah and Colorado, New Mexico. When Grand Lake breached, it carved out a funnel in solid rock, this massive, which I'm sure you've looked at it while you're flying over and over.
Yes.
And then it undercut Hopi Lake, so both Great Lakes catastrophically drained a few hundred years only after the global flood. And that's what carved out the Grand Canyon.
And even though that I'm at 40,000 feet looking at it, you still can't get the whole grand scale of how big these lakes were, you know. Oh. I mean, you have to go from Colorado all the way, you know, to Arizona, Utah,
all
that.
That's a great point. Yeah. And that whole 10,000 square mile area.
Right.
And before you carve out the Grand Canyon, which is 800 cubic miles, above that, there's 1,000 feet, this massive area, the sediments, you recall what the
Mesozoic.
Mesozoic sediments that are just, that's all gone. And then I'm wondering, have you ever noticed as you're flying over? I know we want to talk about the billboard.
Of course, footage, yeah.
But have you ever noticed the Grand Canyon, which is a couple hundred miles long, mm-hmm. but it has these massive side canyons? They're just massive. And a Colorado River carving the Grand Canyon wouldn't explain 5,000 deep, 20 mile long side canyons going to the right, going to the left, go straight 3 miles, mm-hmm. turn right. Turn right 15 miles, come back. It just it doesn't explain the Grand Canyon and the side canyons.
Well, before I even read that book or heard it from other sources, when I flew over it before, I'd always asked myself, well, how on earth can that be cut by a river when there's nothing out there? There's no water. There's no river currently cutting it down. And yet they say it was cut by the little water, the little Colorado River it's great.
Right.
It's a great Colorado River.
Yeah,
cutting
right.
through that, but it can't provide the side canyons.
The side canyons have no drainage basins.
Exactly. Yeah.
And so what's going on?
Right.
If one of those side canyons, let's say Nautiloid Canyon, if it was near Chicago, it would be one of the top 10 tourist attractions in the country if it was just the side canyon.
Right, right.
But the Grand Canyon, the story is false, and you can see it from the air. When you share that insight with pilots, what kind of reaction do you get?
Well, I get basically they would say, I never thought about that. That's very good information. And if this theory is correct, it's going to be amazing, you know. And they'd ask me, well, why hasn't it taken off yet? And I would just say, well, you know, you have a bias out there. Even though scientists, you know, they pride themselves on the fact that they love to be challenged. Mm. It's when you look at the evidence of say, a scientist or a teacher that becomes a Christian or believes in the Christian young age theory, they get fired or they're banned from their
from
grants.
Publishing.
Publishing.
They lose
so
grants, right.
Yeah.
And the slaughter of the dissidents,
right,
as
right.
Dr. Jerry Bergman has documented in these three major tomes, these books documenting case after case after case.
Yeah. So
and the liberals can't even admit that. Isn't that something?
That is.
They can't even admit that if you are a researcher, a scientist, a professional, and you come out against evolution, that you'll be fired, that they won't publish your work. They can't even admit that, which is so, it shows their fear of the truth.
That's correct, yeah. You know, and I even flew with a geologist that teaches from a university, Boulder. And a great guy, and he's on the TV quite a bit on some of these shows I probably shouldn't mention. But, you know, and I got to talk to him about it, and we had great discussions, you know. But he could not admit that as well.
Oh, really? He could not admit that a creation scientist would be shunned.
Right.
There'd be a prejudice against
him. That's correct. What do pilots do? You know, I feel like, you know, every chance I get, I'm converting one pilot at a time. Over to Walt Brown's theory,
that's
you
pretty
know.
Cool. Changing the world one pilot at a time.
There you go.
I like that, Derek.
So I get some really good discussions. I get to speak with people who are strongly in the evolutionary camp, and I have an answer for a lot of the criticisms of the theory.
So reading Walt's book in the beginning that we've been selling for years now, and promoting it, perhaps as energetically as any other outlet in the country or in the world ever has. That book is not only about the global flood. It takes the whole range of origin issues.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
Evolution, the Big Bang. And it really makes it easier to talk with unbelievers and give them an answer.
That's right.
For their questions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so that... Obviously, you could tell that my interest is quite well endowed in the science of Walt Brown's book and Brian Nichols' illustrations. But as you mentioned in the beginning of the show, I do like to fly drones. And I'm that unnamed pilot that flew the drone in Italy. You mentioned that on
right.
your show.
That's right. We did mention that on the air.
Yeah.
So our Bible tour of Italy, you were on that.
Yeah.
There was a southern... And then a northern extension trip, and you did both.
I was only booked for the southern. And
right.
The
Amalfi Coast and up through Rome. And I forget if we got to – we didn't even get to Venice, right?
No, that's correct. That was all part of the northern part. The Venice was part of the northern.
That's right.
And I enjoyed
it so much.
Florence
and Assisi.
So after the first week, I said, Bob, would you mind if I stayed another week? And you were just flabbergasted that I would even suggest that. Yeah. I can't even do that.
Yeah, because usually we've done so many of these Bible tours of Israel, Greece, Turkey, Italy. And normally people don't just, in the middle of a trip, extend, hey, I'm going to stay another week.
Right.
So you did. That was awesome.
Yeah, and I had a blast. Got to know a lot of the members of the church much better. Dominic, the guy, got to talk quite a bit.
Dominic, one of our seven sons, just turned 18.
Yeah.
He works at Bob and Yurt Live.
Right. I think he only did the southern half, didn't he? Is that correct?
Yes, he did. Yeah. That's right.
And your mom.
He had to work.
And your mom also.
He's got a job.
She was a blast.
My mother, Connie, Sharon.
Hi, Sharon. There you are. She's in the studio.
She's working away right there.
Yeah. So, that was, like I said, that was so much fun. I'll do it again for sure.
And the footage you took in Florence.
Yes.
Now, they call it Firenze.
Okay, that's correct.
What a beautiful piece of footage you got of Florence. The most beautiful I've ever seen. Not that I've made a catalog of them, but wow.
It was a brand new drone to me as well, so I was just as wild as everyone else that was looking at the footage. And so,
and it's an expensive drone.
Yes.
It's not a $200 drone.
Oh, no, you can't fly a $200 drone because you have to fly a console. This kind of drone... DJI Mavic Pro 2, it flies by itself practically, you know. And 4K
you tell it what
to
do. You give it the instructions.
Yeah, and I can do that too, yeah.
And then you could focus on the quality of the video and the still photos that you want.
That's correct, yeah.
So you did that in Florence. And now, today, we talked.
Yeah.
And there's a billboard, Colorado Right to Life, put up two billboards. I'm on the board. It's an honor to serve there. One on the western slope out by Grand Junction as people are driving into Colorado from Utah on I-70. And the other downtown Denver. So you said, well, I don't know about going to Fruita. That's a maybe 10 hours round trip.
Yeah, I just did a 10-hour trip the day before. Yeah. I'm not getting in the car again for another 5 hours.
So,
or 10 hours, yeah.
Bob, how about the downtown Denver one? So we drove down there together, and we're going to put this on YouTube. And what a beautiful piece of footage again.
Yes.
And getting the billboard in context with the city. So how many tens of thousands of people will see this message?
Oh, that's amazing.
Yes.
That'd be great.
And thanks to your footage, Darren, perhaps tens of thousands more over a period of time on the internet. And if there might be local or national news coverage, you never know.
Yeah, you never know.
So, and we'll make that footage available to them.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you for that. And the message when the Pro Aborts had their billboard up, welcome to Colorado where you could get an abortion. How disgusting.
Right, right.
And so the Denver CBS affiliate, Channel 4 News, thankfully they gave me an opportunity to go on there and say that you must hate God to advertise that you want to kill kids. You got to hate God.
Right.
And that unborn children have the God-given right to life. And so this billboard, it says Human Rights for All. And it's actually a domain name. It's a website, humanrightsforall.us.
Is that so? Okay.
And so it doubles as the website and the message. So that's it's a pretty billboard also. And
it is, yeah.
I think hopefully we could pray that it gets a lot of attention and gets people to think. And changes some hearts. So, Darren, how did you find out about this show? You've been attending the church, Denver Bible Church, for a couple of years now.
Well, I tend to spend a lot of time researching, not scientifically, but just, you know, as a hobbyist, certain topics. And I was looking at Noah's Ark and, you know, just the whole flood event. And I'm just trying to tie it into with what I see in the world, in the real world. Mm. And I heard a show, or there's a YouTube video actually, of a pastor up in the Washington area, I believe it was, speaking about it, and he mentioned Walt Brown's book.
Mm.
So I searched for the In the Beginning Hydroplate Theory, and so that somehow meant your name got mentioned in one of the, you know, shows after
wow.
or shows that I was watching, I should say.
Yeah.
And I listened to your podcast. And at the end of one of your shows, or I think you say it at the end of every show, but I just happened to notice it after maybe the fifth or sixth time I listened to your show. If you happen to be in the Denver area, please come visit us at our little church,
Denver Bible Church.
And I thought, oh, that's way downtown Denver. I hate going downtown Denver. Parking's so expensive, like we had to deal with today. So I decided to look it up, you know, Google where you were.
Yeah,
and
we're on the western edge. Yeah. We're nestled between Denver and Golden. Just in the beginning of the foothills of the Rocky Mountains.
And you're only like 30 minutes away. And parking's free.
Yeah, so. That's right. We have our own parking lot. It's a small neighborhood church.
Yeah.
And it's just right for homeschool families.
Yeah.
Because we warn people, take your kids out of public schools.
Right.
So that's pretty neat. This morning, while you and I are meeting up in a parking lot, Tom Martino on a competing radio station, KHOW, he's on there. He's the troubleshooter. And he said, call in if your business is special. He said, I'll give you 30 seconds to say why it's special. And if I don't think it's special, I'm going to hang up on you. So I called in and I said, he said, Bob, what makes your business special? And I said, well, it's my church. In 10 years, they have not taken a collection, not one time. In 10 years, we meet every Sunday. We have a church building. And it's not wrong to take a collection, but so many people say church is all about money, so we want to take that excuse away from them, so we don't take a collection. And he said, wow, that wasn't even 30 seconds. And his producer, she was so excited, and she said, that's absolutely special. That is so great. And then Tom and his co-host went on for a while, and Tom repeated the point that it's not wrong for a church to take a collection, but so many of the TV evangelists, he pointed out that they're just frauds, and so many are money grubbers that it mars the reputation of the whole body of Christ and the gospel.
Oh, I agree. Yeah, there's so many people I've met in my life that would tell me, I don't go to church because of that televangelist or that show.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So have you noticed that the church, we do have a little collection box in the back, right?
Yeah.
But we don't even talk about it.
I had to ask you, where is this little box at?
Yeah, right. And people say, Bob, why don't you remind people there's a box in the back to give to the church? Because the church is always really in need of finances. And I say, because I'm an idiot. That's why I don't tell people. I need to tell people. But we don't. But thankfully also, people give through the radio show.
Right.
So they'll support. Some people will send a check or go online and look, how do I donate to Denver Bible Church? They'll do one time or monthly. And that's awesome. And in a way, the ministries are so similar, you know, but the radio show is even more political than the church is.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
So
yeah.
People give to the radio program, and they don't get a deduction. It's right. A radio program.
And, you know, I also, what I like about your church, not only the fact that you do get into the, you get into the details with the scientific stuff that I like to look into, but you get very in-depth with the Word, you know, and you break it down
Bible.
Word for word. You know, book by book. That's the way I learned, you know. As a matter of fact, we talked about this before. We found out that we were members of the same church at one time up in California.
Calvary
Chapel, Costa Mesa.
That's right. And so I went to Chuck Smith's church.
That's right, yeah.
For, maybe a year and a half total. Monday night Bible studies with Chuck Missler. And do you remember any of the other guys in there? Chuck Smith's Bible study was Sunday nights,
right?
And the service is Sunday morning. It was really a great time.
Greg Laurie also would come and speak as a guest.
And Keith Green, I don't know if you remember Keith Green, a Christian singer.
Oh, wow, yeah, Keith Green.
I want to go back to Egypt. He came on a Sunday night and performed that album before it was released.
I'm so jealous.
What a neat time.
He's one of the first few artists I ever listened to when I became a Christian.
Yeah,
and
isn't he awesome?
I just fell in love with his music. And then you told me that you actually knew him.
Yeah, Darren, he had a Christian commune, basically, like the rest of us.
Well, I didn't have the commune, but...
I don't mean... No, we don't all have communes. But like the rest of us, he's trying to figure out the Bible. And in the book of Acts, they live in a commune. And so he loved the Lord... And he brought so many people to the Lord. His crowns will be multiplied beyond measure.
Yeah.
But I think he didn't understand that part. We focus on the story of the Bible.
Yeah.
And God doesn't want us. It's not his model for us to live as communists.
Right.
In a Christian commune. In fact, everyone who did that in Jerusalem, they all went into dire poverty. And the Apostle Paul, whose converts did not do that, and they didn't sell their home... And they didn't sell their homes or their lands, their businesses. They had to support the believers in Jerusalem who were in poverty. The Apostle Paul would take collections and bring the money. So they did it. There was a really good reason why they did it. If people want to understand, they can study the book of Acts with us. We do that. It's on our store, kgov.com.
Right. Yeah, I had no idea that was the case until you brought that up, and that Paul was supporting those early Christians.
Yeah, and so I got to stay with Keith Green, his wife Melody. They had maybe about 20 people living with them in their Christian commune.
Right.
And I was there only for a couple weeks, but what an awesome time. We'd go out to Hollywood Boulevard, Sunset Strip, and share the gospel.
I discovered that bit of information from you coming back from that hike. Remember the 14er we did?
Oh, yeah.
Getting ready
For a possible trip to Mount Ararat.
Yeah.
The 14er that I tried to do that you could have done easily. But thank you for helping me train because I was on the team of 20 of us that were headed back to Mount Ararat in eastern Turkey as the effort continues to look for remains of Noah's Ark. And that mountain, it's constantly snow-capped, and there's a lot of snow up there, and glaciers, and there could be parts of a wooden ship, a giant wooden ship, under the snow. And almost every year, scientists, one of the Apollo astronauts, so many amazing people have gone on these excavations. It was an honor to be invited. You helped me train. Some of the other guys in our church helped me train. Dave Kniedler, for example, from up north, Talk Shop, he helped me train. But Darren, There was a coup. Do you remember that?
Erdogan, the Islamist
president. They tried to kick him out of office.
What an interesting timing that was. I was devastating.
Yeah. I think 45,000 people were arrested. Our guide was arrested. We got him a Turkish attorney. He spent 6 months in jail. The day he got out of jail, no, the next day he was found dead.
Oh, tragic. Yeah.
Just devastating. And, in fact, Dick Bright and Don Patton, since you bring this up, just 2 weeks ago tried to enter the country.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So they flew into Ankara, I believe it was, and they were detained. They were put in a holding cell overnight and sent right back out of the country.
Wow.
So at least they're not still there.
But, that's good, yeah.
But they did try, and so it's still not favorable conditions for Christians to do archaeology work on Mount Ararat.
Well, you know, since Dominic's here, we had a discussion once about the Grand Canyon, and he says, "Well, what do you ever point things out to the passengers?" And I said, "Oh, as a matter of fact, I do. I would say, hey, for those of you on the left hand side of the aircraft, you have a great view of the Grand Canyon. For those of you on the right hand side of the aircraft, you have a great view of those who are on the left side of the aircraft."
that's mean. Yeah. So, Darren, it is something how pilots, in one way, have an advantage over other people, but in every sphere of life, in every endeavor, we have insights, we learn things, even if it's about human nature and relationships and things. Yesterday's program, we talked about how the flu virus, a common flu virus, could be used to fight cancer tumors because it attracts your antibodies, your immune system, to attack the tumor. Every different human endeavor gives opportunity for people to see the evidence for our Creator God, no matter what you do.
The evidence of God is everywhere, right? I mean, the Bible even says that.
Yeah, what a great point. When I was in a debate with an atheist, and he said, well, how could I prove there's no God? Maybe he's on the far side of Pluto, you know. So I said, okay, I will stipulate that I have to be able to prove that God is here and now. And if I can't do that, then you win. Then you win. And so, yeah, we don't have to put that heavy burden on him as though God is hiding somewhere far, far away. And he needs to be omniscient to be able to figure that out. No. God is here and now, and the evidence for God is everywhere.
And Bob, you are a man of many talents and knowledge of so many different topics. I'm just blown away with how you can debate and discuss and just go over things scientifically and religious, you know, and spiritually.
Theologically.
You cover it all. It's amazing how you can debate with all these top scientists and
very
so forth.
Kind of you, Darren. It's really nice. It's encouraging. Makes me want to keep fighting, because if you have an overview of the Bible and you're curious about the world around you, you should be able to understand far more than those who don't take advantage of God's word. And so whether it's economics or theology or morality or origins or astronomy, the Big Bang, whatever it is, Christians, it's almost like we're cheating. You know, if you have a debate, it's like you're taking a test. You got the answers in advance. It's like you're cheating.
Yeah.
But it's real encouraging. So thank you for getting that fabulous footage.
Yeah.
Footage.
Drone footage.
We'll put that up on YouTube and hopefully reach a lot of people.
That'd be great.
All right. God bless you, Darren, and everyone else in the audience. Hey, God bless you guys. Our website, kgov.com.